Kids imitate their parents and often carry into their own lives the passions and prejudices of the past, such is the case with commentator Bill Harley.
My whole childhood, I was told that I should be open-minded about food. My father's line when I refused food because of its appearance or texture or taste was, "You don't know what you're missing." I realized my intolerance was a character defect on my part. In my eyes, my all-knowing parents had tried every kind of food. They served them all, they ate them all. This was also true of music. If we didn't have it at home, it wasn't worth listening to. What I later discovered was that I never saw or heard the things my father didn't like. A beet had never appeared on our table, nor a turnip, nor a green pepper, nor squash, and John Coltrane never graced the turntable. I never thought about my parents hating food until I got to college. The second night at the dining hall, I looked at the salad bar, at these slices of maroon sitting in a serving bowl. "What are those?" I asked aloud. And Jeff, a new acquaintance, answered, helping himself, "Beets." I had heard of beets. I guess I'd seen them. "What do they taste like?" "They're good," he said. I was immediately suspicious. This was a standard line by my parents. I put one on my plate. It immediately bled all over the macaroni salad, and it didn't taste red at all. It tasted like dirt. This was a food at odds with itself and spreading its confusion all over my plate. It was messy and earthy, and I didn't eat it because I was in college and no one could make me. After dinner, I went up to Jeff's room and he showed me his new stereo. Jeff had a huge record collection. He was into jazz. A saxophone screeched and squealed and ran up and down some kind of scale I would never recognize. "Who is this?" "Coltrane. A Love Supreme, and it's a masterpiece." "Oh," I said. Like the beats, it was earthy and messy, and I had no idea what its point was. "It's out there," I said. "Yeah," he said. We both agreed it was out there. Whether we liked it or not was another question. It was, to me, a bunch of noise. Now, I could say I trained myself to overlook the strange color of beats and learn to like them, or I grew in my appreciation of Coltrane that year, but I didn't. There was no one there to make me do anything. So last month I was out to dinner, and at the salad bar, I saw those same beets there. They'd been sitting there waiting for me for 22 years. My wife took some. "You like those?" I said. "Yeah," she said. "They're good. I love them." I tried them again. I don't know why. I put them on a separate plate so they wouldn't bleed over my pasta salad. I held my nose. I tasted them. They were okay. No, they really were. I ate them, all of them. And later that evening, at a friend's house, he put on a compact disc. A piano started playing chords, and then a sax blew up and down a scale, chanting a theme over and over again. It was pretty, clear, and unattached to where it should have been going, venturing where it wanted to. "Who's this?" I asked. "Coltrane," my friend answered. "A Love Supreme." "Oh, yeah," I said. "I know that album. It's nice." "Yeah," he said. "It's out there." What had I done to develop an appreciation for beats and Coltrane? Apparently nothing. It was just a little gift for hanging around the planet for so long. I went out and bought the album. I brought it home. I got some beets. I was making dinner, putting the beets in a dish with some salad dressing with Coltrane on the stereo. My son came in. "What is that?" he asked. "They're beets," I said. "They're good. You don't know what you're missing." "No," he said. "That noise coming out of the stereo." "Oh," I said, "that's John Coltrane. It's a masterpiece." "Sure, Dad." My son left the room shaking his head at what he had to put up with, and I thought to myself that perhaps, really, we don't grow older, but better.
Bill Harley lives in Seekonk, Massachusetts.